Welcome to the free version of Sunday night's main event. If you like what you hear, there's plenty more where this came from. Join us at patreon.com/snmeradio and get a commercial-free extended version of this show each and every week, plus numerous other weekly podcasts for only $1 a week. Sign up now at patreon.com/snmeradio.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone, and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
Darby and Jungle Boy have their main event hijacked. Omega is set to collect some belts, and WWE takes out the trash. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday night's main event, powered by Great Lakes Beer and coming at you across the country on TSN Radio and the iHeartRadio Talk Network. Once again, Jason Agnew back with you for another week to go inside the ropes and behind the curtain in the world of pro wrestling. And on this week's show, we'll kick things off with the news of the week, including all the fallout from the Mickie James trash bag scandal. Later in the program, I'll be joined by my longtime co-host, Dan the Mouth Lavransky, to chat about AEW and WWE on TV. And for patron listeners, we'll also have a segment where Mouth will be joined by Slam Wrestling's Bob Kapoor. And we'll chat about the event that AEW decided not to mention this week. And that is tonight's Impact Rebellion pay-per-view, where Kenny Omega is defending the AEW title. Why didn't we hear about that on TV this week? We will get into all of that, plus another edition of Turnbuckle Trivia. Be sure to follow us on all of our socials, including Twitter and Instagram, at SNME Radio. With all that said, let's kick things off with the week in wrestling news.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
Well, the biggest story of the week involves Mickie James and a garbage bag. After being released by WWE last week, Mickie James posted a picture on social media Thursday afternoon showing a box WWE sent her that had her belongings in a trash bag with her name on it. It was also complimented by tweets from other former female talent in WWE, such as Maria Kanellis and Gail Kim, saying similar scenarios had happened to them. Naturally, this sparked some outrage, and both Paul, Triple H Levesque, and Stephanie McMahon took to Twitter Thursday night to publicly apologize to James and say the person responsible had been fired. And this started a huge shakedown in WWE talent relations that included the firing of Mark Carano. Yep, you may remember him from his position in talent relations on Total Divas. Well, he's out. And so is Director of Talent Relations Nicole Zioli and Senior Manager of Talent Relations John Cohn. And they are all no longer in their roles. Zioli is gone from the company altogether. Cohn remains as a referee. Now, later in the week, the fallout continued. VP of Communications Mead Rust and Chief Marketing and Communications Officer Brian Flynn are gone, as well as Publicity and Corporate Communications Manager Joe Villa, who is gone after 22 years with the company. Now, after all of this happened, Mickie James did send out a tweet saying she's sure the McMahons had no idea how talent exits were handled and didn't want to see anyone fired, but she thought the garbage bag was symbolic of how she was presented in her last run in WWE. For the full statement, check out Mickie's Twitter, and I guess now we'll just await the rehiring of Duke Drossy to have this whole thing play out in storyline as well. I guess that would be more so something they do in the Attitude Era. All right, moving on. The WWE had their Q1 revenue call this week and reported revenues of $263.5 million. Oh, it is down 9% year over year, so clearly that's why they needed to fire these people. Now, despite the dip, Operating income increased by 22% to $65.1 million compared to last year. Other highlights they noted during the quarter was WWE Network launching on Peacock, moving the Thunderdome to Tampa's Yuengling Center, and a multi-year extension for NXT on USA and a move to Tuesdays. Charlotte Flair was suspended in storyline after Monday's WWE Raw, but that's not the real reason she's out of action. TalkSport's Alex McCarthy first reported Tuesday that Flair was having dental surgery, which is the reason she is gone. That lady loves surgery. I feel like this is getting to be a bit of an addiction. But, you know, do you. You do you. WWE has announced that former New England Patriots broadcaster Megan O'Brien has joined the company as a backstage correspondent for SmackDown. She's now using the name Megan Morant in WWE, and we saw her this past week on SmackDown. And if she has a personality, get ready to lose that lady. In ratings news, NXT averaged 841,000 viewers on the USA Network. That's up 4.5% from last week's Tuesday debut. AEW Dynamite averaged 1.104 million viewers on TNT. That is down 9.4% from last week. UFC Hall of Famer and former Raw Women's Champion Ronda Rousey has revealed that she is 4 months pregnant. Rousey and her husband, MMA fighter Travis Brown, released a YouTube video on Wednesday announcing that they're expecting to welcome a child into the world this September. Rousey's due date is set at September the 22nd, so congrats to her because they have been trying for a long while. So now the baby can hang out with her goats. Former Super Bowl champion and Four Horsemen member Steve Mongo McMichael has revealed that he's battling ALS. The 63-year-old McMichael shared his diagnosis in interviews with the Chicago Tribune and WGN. ALS, which is known as Lou Gehrig's disease, is a progressive neurodegenerative disease that affects nerve cells in the brain and the spinal cord. McMichael stated he did the article to let people know why he would not be seen in public anymore. A GoFundMe campaign has been started to help with the cost of McMichael's care. McMichael, his wife Misty, and their 13-year-old daughter Macy need to find a handicap accessible home. That is expensive, and that is really sad news. EC3 is currently hospitalized with an infection. The ROH star wrote on Instagram that he's been in the hospital for the last 5 days, and he did this earlier this week, with an unnamed infection. The picture included in the post shows him in a hospital room. He then stated on Instagram, quote, short version, an infection I neglected proper care for put other people's needs before mine, went straight empath, caught up to me and broke me. Long version, it's extensive. I've been hospitalized for 5 days and will need longer. Anyways, I will heal. If you want to help, drop a comment or a thought or affirmation, please do not text. Please, all I ask. If you want to help, let me be alone, end quote. In other health news, Terry Funk is currently recovering from COVID-19. The 76-year-old recently contracted the virus and is doing fine outside of being in isolation. Terry lives in Texas, Amarillo, Texas, that is, believes he got it from attending church. Clearly, though, COVID is no match for the hardcore legend. Seriously, though, we wish Terry Funk all the best. He is getting up there in age, and that's the danger zone for COVID-19 when you're up in your 70s. ROH has announced that the Women's Division Wednesday will kick off on YouTube on Wednesday, April 28th. There will be a new women's match airing on ROH's YouTube channel every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And finally, to cap things off here, a rock and wrestling note of a sad nature as well. Jim Steinman, a producer for the likes of Meatloaf and Bonnie Tyler, has passed away at the age of 73. Now, the thing with Steinman that connects him to the world of wrestling, which I did not know, he produced the wrestling album, which included what would eventually become Hulk Hogan's theme music, Real American, although it's credited to Rick Derringer. He was one of the producers on it. But he was the man who composed this theme, which, if you may remember, was used for Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling cartoon and, of course, did appear on the good old wrestling album, which also featured tracks like Land of a Thousand Dances when the wrestlers did that. So we'll give you a little bit more of this Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling cartoon to let the nostalgic memories flow back. And we will take a break. When we return, I will be joined by Dan the Mouth Lavransky. We'll take a look back at AEW this week and then also go through a little bit of what is happening in WWE. From the fresh to the recycled, we'll go through it all as we continue on with another edition of Sunday Night's Main Event right here on TSN Radio and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Supporting local is more important than ever. Grab your morning coffee from a local cafe. Purchase fresh bread from your local bakery. Visit your neighborhood mom and pop shop, or visit their online store. Secure your lunch or dinner from a bar or restaurant on your block. Local business needs your love, your support. Prop up your neighbors, man. Shop local. Your purchases, that money, it stays within your community. Now crack a beer as a reward, because you deserve it, and so do they. Supporting local never tasted so good. A kind message from your friends at Great Lakes Brewery. GLB, brewed for you, Ontario.
I'm Boris Aguilar.
And I'm Matthew Ederer.
And we're still the Young Guns.
Even though, mathematically speaking, we aren't getting younger.
Every Wednesday morning, you can wake up to our show on the Sunday Night's Main Event Patreon feed.
That show is NXT Talk, where we talk about NXT. We also rate every match and rant about the wrestling world.
The show is NXT Talk, and you can find it on SNME Radio's Patreon feed. That's patreon.com/SNME Radio.
You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Yeah, that's the thing I'm fearing right now. Like you said, you had the Hart Foundation, you had DX, you had the upper tier factions, and then you had a couple of lower tier factions. In AEW, everybody seems to be pretty much on the same level, but there's just too much of it. And if you watched this past week on Dynamite, it seemed like after the end of every match that one of these factions were involved with, there was a run-in and there was a beatdown and there was a like everybody jumping and piling in. So if it happens at the end of every match, then when does it become special and exciting and make you go, ooh, I'm curious to see what happens next? If everybody does it, then it's not special.
Do you remember when we, when WCW was running and the NWO had five or six people and we were like, yeah. And then the NWO had 30 people in it.
Mm. And then there were two NWOs.
And then there were two NWOs.
White and red.
AEW looks like they have seven NWOs.
Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event. That was a clip there from a new series that we're doing on Sunday Night's Main Event that happens in the middle of the week, Roundtables. And those familiar voices were, of course, Jimmy Corderas and Nug Nargang from Aftermath. The interesting thing that we got to do, though, with that podcast, which, by the way, is available on both our Patreon feed and our free feed, just check out SundayNightsMainEvent.com, is we heard Jimmy and Nug, who are normally on Aftermath talking WWE, talking about AEW. So it was neat to hear their thoughts about that. Now, the gentleman who is joining me right now is someone who talks about AEW each and every week on our family of podcasts, my longtime co-host and the host of All Elite Weekly, Dan the Mouth Lavransky. How are you, Dr. Mouth?
Thank you, Jay. I'm doing very well, very well. Always ready to chat wrestling with you, of course.
Well, let's start with factions, like we just heard from Jimmy and Nug there, because this has been something that I think the word concerning is a little bit strong, but there are so many guys signed to AEW Mouth, and I believe that they've just gone with the strategy of, well, if we put them in factions, we can get them on TV, but it is getting very cluttered, shall we say, on their television.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the thing with factions, and I honestly, I don't really have that big of a problem with it. The thing with factions, though, is that you have to have good storylines usually it's going to be faction against faction. So you need to have some good storylines, and you need to have some matches where people want to see those within the two factions. Like for me right now, Inner Circle and Pinnacle is how you do it, because you have two strong factions and you have guys in each faction that you'd like to see guys face in other factions. They've teased matches. You have the ongoing thing with Wardlow and Jake Hager. So in that particular instance, it's working. But the thing about it is you have to really think about what you're going to do, because you just can't throw the guys together in groups and expect it to work. That's not going to happen. You have to put some thought to it. And the other thing I think, besides your idea that they have so many guys, so they're doing factions, is I think they the Bucks, you know, the Good Brothers, Kenny, they all come from Japan. And if you go to New Japan, it's all factions, Jay. Right. Every single guy on the roster is part of a faction. So I think they're also drawing that from New Japan as well.
You know, when you remember back, though, to the nostalgic times and whatever era that might be, whether it was the Four Horsemen or whether it was DX and the Hart Foundation, the second version of the Hart Foundation, those factions to me became special because there weren't a lot of them. And I actually talked to Jimmy and Nug about this as well, because there was an era in WWE that got cluttered as well, when you had the Los Boricuas and Disciples of Apocalypse, the Truth Commission. Oh, my goodness, the Truth Commission followed by the Oddities. Like, too many factions, I think, all in all, has the ability to make them less special. And I feel like when you get into stuff like the Nightmare Family, the Factory, the Matt Hardy brand, so many out there.
Absolutely. I agree. I'm not saying they're all working, Jay. Okay. I'm definitely not saying that. To me, that's a great example, the one you just said, the Factory and the Nightmare Family feud. That to me is so low level, and it's so uninteresting to me. So that is one definitely where it doesn't work. And yeah, you do have to worry with factions, because let's look at what some people would consider the greatest faction ever. And the thing that killed it is that you let everybody and their dog join, and that's the NWO.
Right, of course. And then they divided the faction into two. Then they had the parody faction of the Latino World Order at one point as well. Yeah, there's got to be a certain, okay, pardon the pun, but eliteness to these factions.
Yeah, no, I agree, absolutely. And it is kind of tough to have the whole card based on it. They do a good job of it in New Japan, but then in New Japan, the factions, you don't always see them in groups. It's kind of just like, well, okay, Okada has his group and Ishii's in his group and so on and so on and so on. You don't always necessarily see them in a group like you kind of do in AEW. So it's a tough one for sure, but I can't say I'm burned out on it. I like it, but you just have to be a little bit picky with who you put which factions you put against which, and so you can get some good matchups. See, for me, with Nightmare Family and the Factory, there's not a lot of matches that I'm interested in seeing, and really that whole feud should just be being used to build up those other guys, to build up Camarado and Solo.
Yeah, I am impressed with those guys in the Factory. I don't think I believe in their leader, though.
Right. No, and I agree with you. I agree with you 100% on that one, Jay. QT Marshall is just not convincing. Whatever his issue is, it doesn't come through in the story and when he talks. So that's why I have trouble getting behind that kind of storyline. It's just not captivating to me. Again, in a promotion where there's a lot of neat things happening, this is kind of fallen by the wayside kind of thing.
Although I'll tell you one thing about the Factory angle that I didn't like is they tried to get Anthony Ogogo, an Olympic boxer, over with a punch on the exact same show that they had Mike Tyson on that show. Bad timing.
Yeah, you could have probably kept that to a different, maybe had a go-go do it, on a different show with Tyson wasn't there. But that does seem to be the focus. The big push is definitely with him and getting over that big punch. You can tell that's where they're going with that. I like the guy so far. I think his promos are great. He's got a captivating personality. We'll just have to see if he actually gets over or not.
I would guess you love Nick Camarado as well, with the no sell and the chair shot this week. And very, very Bruiser Brody. All I'm thinking is, oh, this guy's got potential with the Bruiser Brody look. Mouth's going to love him.
Yeah, no, you're right. Absolutely. That was a great, as soon as he handed him a wooden chair, you knew that it was going to break over his head. But yeah, I dug it. Exactly. He does have the great Bruiser Brody look. I mean, here's a guy that, you know, you can get him introduced to the fan base in a faction, and then perhaps he breaks away in somehow or some way. I think that's a good thing with factions too, is that you can use them to introduce people. And then if they're strong personalities, they can break away. Like it seems to be is going to happen maybe with Taz and his faction, right? With yeah. Brian Cage breaking away or something like that.
Yeah. And I mean, I would see Wardlow at some point as well, just yes. being a monster. I mean, there's a guy who even proved himself on the mic this week in that interview. I thought that was very opportune to use Jericho's mistake against him this week.
Yeah, no, these guys are on the ball, right? They pay attention. They obviously go over what they've done after they do it. And I agree. That was almost the best part of that entire promo, was those few words spoken by Wardlow. Did you also catch this week, Jay, how Paul Heyman used it?
I did not.
He did. He used that line. He used the 13-cent brain billion-dollar body line on SmackDown.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, he did.
let's speed along to the main event. I mean, we've just been talking about how AEW can use factions to get younger guys over, and they're getting younger guys over. And I have to say, even though they got there in a very weird way with picking someone from the top five to put in there, when I saw Darby versus Jungle Boy as the main event, I was like, okay. This is it. This is two of your homegrown young stars in the main event. This is fantastic. And you know what? These guys delivered. I thought yep. it was great. I actually thought that there was a chance that Jungle Boy could win.
Yes, so did I. Yep.
You know what? So that automatically intrigues you in the match. Are they going to do the title swap? Then I felt completely ripped off as yep. an AEW fan when even the Sting interference there with Luchasaurus, I didn't need. These are just two baby faces, and I'm fine with watching this match. And then at the end, Sting, Archer, Scorpio Sky, Ethan Page, you've used Darby and Jungle Boy as a way of getting these other things over. And that is completely incorrect with what you're attempting to do with Darby and Jungle Boy.
Absolutely, Jay. Absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly. To me, Dynamite should have ended right after that match. We see the two guys. Darby still got the championship. They almost look like they're going to shake hands. That's it. Show ends.
Sure.
You're done. Another great title defense by Darby. Great moment to end the show. They did this last week as well. They've done this 2 weeks in a row in the main event where they toss in all this silliness. At the end, I absolutely hated this. All the interference from everybody. And like you said, half of it doesn't even make sense. You've got Luchasaurus babyface against Sting babyface. They just battle to the back, and then, well, Sting just wanders back in himself.
Yeah.
Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky have no idea what those guys are doing out there. Like, this was just like, you, this is what you remember at the end, is all this goofiness rather than this awesome title defense between these two guys. Like, I was really disappointed. Why can't you do that stuff in separate segments? Why can't you can't you do stuff with Ethan Page and Sky somehow else in the show, somewhere else in a separate segment? Like, I don't know. Like, both weeks, I feel like they did the show and they went, oh, we didn't find a place for these guys. Oh, we'll just throw them on at the end of the show. Like, it's really haphazard. And it doesn't make any of those guys look great either.
Yeah, I agree with you. I just didn't understand it when I very much enjoyed the match and thought the two younger guys delivered there. And I saw especially no offense to Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page, who I like. I don't understand them as a tag team, actually. I'm just waiting for Ethan to be reunited to do the North in AEW, but that'll
right.
happen eventually, I think, when Josh Alexander's contract expires. But I just didn't see the need for them to pop up to promote some other feud. And are Sting and Archer going to be a team now?
That I'm completely confused by all the Sting Archer stuff, Jay. If you watched it when Archer came out at the end, even Jake Roberts had this perplexed look on his face, like,
yeah,
what the hell is going on here? I have no idea what's going on with Lance, with Archer and Sting. I thought at first they were going to fight, they were going to have a feud. Now, I'm totally confused. I don't know where they're going with those two.
Well, one thing they did very well on AEW, though, is Ty Conti and Sheeta, a strong match, and then followed by Britt Baker coming out and proclaiming herself number one in the ranking. Talking about, you know, you talk about using something that people have criticized AEW yes. for with that ranking system to get it over, using your top heel in the division to get it over. I thought was a wise move. And Mouth, I got to say, it's time to make this flip. The next pay-per-view, Britt Baker is your champion.
I think it's time to, absolutely. I thought this segment was absolutely fantastic, and I agree with you. I really like the way you can tell that AEW listens to their fans, and when they don't like certain things, they try to remedy it the best they can. And this angle with Britt and the rankings was, just like you said, their way of kind of saying, okay, this is important, and her execution was great. She comes out, it shows the five, she waves her hand, it just shows a big number one. Like, it's great. And I agree with you. Sheeta's been great, and she's a great worker. That was the best match Ty Conti's ever had. And I think a big part of that was because of Sheeta.
Right.
But I agree. Britt Baker, again, as another homegrown talent, like a Darby Allin, like a Jungle Boy, I do think it's her time to shine. She's had, you know, a bit of a rough spot with injuries and stuff like that. But she's got her confidence. When she first came in, you know, it was horrible, but she's got her confidence. She's a strong character, great promos. And I agree. And if she wins it, she should hold it for a long time.
Agreed. Yeah. One more thing before we move off AEW and actually dart out to a break. And that would be, well, a man without a faction, and better for it, someone yes. who we've been very, you know exactly where I'm going here. Huh?
I do. I totally know who you're talking about.
We have been extremely critical of the former Rusev, now Miro, since he's come into AEW, both of us feeling like he's just dislikable, not in the good way, but we look like we're getting the emergence of the monster after the promo this week, Mouth.
Yeah, absolutely. The promo this week was great. It was short. It was sweet. It was to the point. It had anger. It had intensity. It had good catchy lines in it. And honestly, Jay, though, I hope, honestly, they got to have the match with Kip, and he just destroys him. They right. have to have the match with Kip. He destroys him, just throws him around for 5 minutes, beats the crap out of him, and then Miro super strong on his own. And then Samoa Joe comes in, and we have the battle of the big guys.
Oh, yeah, you think so, huh? It'll depend. It'll depend whether Joe can get cleared ends up there. But, Samoa Joe is a very, very valuable asset to AEW if he happens to choose that way. All right, we need to take a radio break here, so let's do that. We'll return and slide in some turnbuckle trivia, give away a t-shirt from ballergear.ca, and then, Mouth, you come on back. We'll talk some WWE as well, because we're getting ready for a Backlash, which has got to be our favorite pay-per-view of the year. That's sarcasm. More of that to come as well. Hey, it's Sunday Night's Main Event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
I'm Dan the Mouth of Ransom.
And I'm Joe Aguinaldo.
And we are the old folks, two burnout wrestling fans that have been watching it since the 70s.
But now, All Elite Wrestling is here to make everything old new again.
So what better idea for a podcast to have it covered by two old crusty farts?
It's called All Elite Weekly, and you can listen to it by becoming a patron of Sunday Night's Main Event at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And you can bet we'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we're the old folks, tough guy.
Are you fluent in sports? Check out the Sports Fluent Network for all your sports needs. And be more in the loop with great shows like this one, Sunday Night's Main Event, and The Coach, an AK experience with NFL coach Hugh Jackson. You can find these shows and so much more at sportsfluent.com.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday Night's Main Event presents...
Everybody hands go up!
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there! And they say yeah! And they stay there!
It is Turnbuckle Trivia time here on Sunday Night's Main Event. Our two patrons are on the line, and they are, of course, playing for a t-shirt from ballergear.ca. And the first one revealed to me that he has had a rocky road in the world of turnbuckle trivia. It's Tony. Tony, so what were you saying? What's your record?
I know I started out like 3-0, and since then I've gone like 0-4. I feel like creative's got nothing for me. I'm going to be future endeavored here really soon.
No, Tony, real funny you say that. So we'll just leave that alone for right now if you've lost about 4 in a row. Your opponent is Jason. Jason, how have you done in the Turnbuckle Trivia contests?
I'm kind of like him. I started off 2-0 myself, and I'm on a losing streak.
All right, well, let's see who's going to break the losing streak here. And Tony, very funny that you say future endeavors. Your category today, gentlemen, is Baby, You've Got to Release Me. So I'm sure you know where we're headed. Here we go, Tony, you're player one. Jason, you're player two. No steals involved this week. Tony, first question. Samoa Joe was, of course, released by WWE, shockingly. Well, he won the Impact Wrestling Championship once. It was on April 13th, 2008. Who did he defeat, Tony?
Kurt Angle.
It was Kurt Angle. Very good. Good guess. Now, Jason, let's follow that up with you and another Samoa Joe question. He's a two-time NXT champion. Who did he defeat the first time he won?
Was it Finn Balor?
It was Finn Balor. I feel like we just had two very good guesses from you guys, as both of your answers ended with question marks. All right, Tony, back to you. Believe it or not, Bo Dallas is also a former NXT champion. Who did he lose the championship to on May 23rd, 2013?
Definitely a guess. I'm going to say Sami Zayn.
It wasn't Sami Zayn. Yeah. It was Adrian Neville, actually. So the current pack is who he lost it to. I believe it was a ladder match. Jason, to you. Wesley Blake was another one of the WWE releases. Well, on the main roster, he was part of the Forgotten Sons. But in NXT, who was Wesley Blake's tag team partner?
Was it Buddy Murphy?
It was Buddy Murphy, as we used to call them, the Dubstep Cowboys, because of their ridiculous theme music.
Weren't they managed by Alexa Bliss?
Yeah, they were, when she used to wear, and this is no reveal, I almost did that as the next question, Tony, but I didn't. Remember she used to wear the Freddy Krueger outfit there?
Yep.
Yep, there you go. But Tony, your question is about a tag team. It's about Kalisto. He teamed with Sin Cara in NXT. What was their tag team name?
Only thing I think was Lucha House Party.
It is not. You got the Lucha right, but back then they were Dragons. The Lucha Dragons was their name. All right, that means Jason, here we go with yours. Ooh, this is tough. What is Billy Kay's real name, Jason?
I must save some time. I have no idea.
Would you have known that, Tony?
Oh, no. No, actually, I'm thinking Peyton Royce.
Never mind. This one is Jessica McKay. But, Tony, you also get a hard one. What is Tucker Knight's real name?
No clue.
It is Levi Rolla Cooper. All right, Jason, that puts it over to you for your third question. Now, you're up 2-1 right now, so if you get this, your fourth question, that is, you do get the mathematical win. Who is Chelsea Green engaged to?
She is Matt Cardona?
Yes, Matt Cardona is the correct answer. Okay. Zack Ryder in WWE. And it's funny because Chelsea Green was just talking about being Canadian, and she told Zack they need to get married so she can stay in the U.S. That is a 3-1 victory. Jason, you snapped the losing streak. Tony, better luck next time, but now, you know, I got to find another losing streak to put you up against to snap it.
I'm the jobber. Yep.
Good job. 1, 2, 3 for life it is. Thank you, guys.
All right, guys.
Thanks, man.
Gotta love it. At least Tony knows where he stands, and currently he is jobbing on out, but maybe he'll get a push later. Maybe that push will be against you if you were sitting there listening to the trivia and thought, hey, I could do better. I would have known Billy Kay's real name. Probably not. I would have known Tucker Knight's real name. Does anyone? Then maybe you want to get in and play. Sign up to play Turnbuckle Trivia. You just got to become a patron at patreon.com/SNMEradio. And I am booking summer slots right now. Sign up to the Turnbuckle Trivia level. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Dan the Mouth Lavransky is also back. And we shall talk some WWE, openly admitting to recycling their programming with WrestleMania Backlash. That is next, right here on Sunday Night's Main Event. I'm trying to make you see.
Go. I'm Manny Arsenault, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins-Zillier, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand, 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Run Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio. Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
Octo is an angry octopus. Usually he's quite surly.
What did you say to me?
But when he gets mad...
You ain't so smart, is yous?
He becomes angry.
Go home and brush your sister's hair.
It's been said that his sour attitude is due to a slight disagreement with the Great Lakes Brewers.
Those guys better have eyes in the back of their head.
They said they would use 8 ingredients and Octo's beer would be 8%.
But it ain't!
Octo likes the number 8.
What's not to like about it?
The Brewers apologized for the 8, but that made Octo more irate.
Hey, you wanna go me?
Nevertheless, there's still something likable about Octo.
Your hat looks like a toilet.
Well, sort of.
Sit down!
Octopus wants to fight by Great Lakes Brewery.
That's right!
Welcome back. It's Sunday night's main event. Just a little bit more time here on the radio show, and we should really touch on WWE. Dan Lavransky, the Mouth, joining me for this week on the show. Mouth, you know, I put AEW first because I feel like I'm a bit more energized for that product leading up to the fact that they're doing Blood and Guts, whereas WWE, very much in cruise control right now and even more repetitive than normal, leading to a pay-per-view that is just openly repetitive.
They're not even trying to hide it, eh? WrestleMania Backlash. As soon as you hear that name, you're just like, oh, great. It's going to just be all lazy rematches from WrestleMania.
Except it does look like the development on SmackDown is pushing towards Bianca Belair and Bayley.
Right. Right.
So that'll at least be fresh. And I am looking forward to that. I think they could have got into that if maybe they did a ding-dong hello with Bayley and got into it that way as opposed to just the backstage thing they did.
Yeah, that was another one that reminded me of what they did in AEW. It's like, what is Bayley doing in these segments? Why is Bayley interrupting these segments? Again, why, like you said, the ding-dong thing has already been set up.
Yep.
That would have been a perfect way to do it. I really don't like it, this idea of performers interrupting other guys' interviews to take it in a whole different direction. Like, just give these people their separate segments. Why is that so hard? I don't understand that.
Yeah, it could have been done as a ding-dong hello. And listen, they still very well might do this. We have a few weeks. We actually had 5 weeks leading into this pay-per-view, so they had more time. And you could do a ding-dong hello this week with Bayley congratulating Bianca for her win and then saying, great, you won the title, but you didn't beat me. Boom! Match
right.
in place.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah, absolutely.
It's not that difficult. But, I mean, someone who is still getting very high praise is Roman Reigns. Though it's curious, don't you feel, Mout, that Roman Reigns is going to face Daniel Bryan this week, and if Bryan loses, he leaves SmackDown. That seems to be the gimmick here. What do you see happening? Do you see Bryan leaving SmackDown, or Bryan losing this match and doing that, or do you see something going awry here and then us getting Bryan and Reigns again at the pay-per-view as opposed to getting Cesaro and Reigns, which would be much more fresh?
Yeah, I mean, I hope they don't. I hope they don't do that. I thought perhaps that he would lose on SmackDown and he would go to Raw.
I guess, but
I don't know. You know, you mentioned to me that his contract is up in September. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he would renew at that point. His is a tough one because I think of his wife's connection to the company.
Yep.
I mean, I think AEW would obviously be all over him if he wanted to go there. But I'm not sure if he would actually leave the company. I don't know if he would retire yet either, though, because he really seems to have a fire in him to keep performing. So it's a tough one. I'm suspecting they'll want him to re-sign in September.
And oh, well, there's no question they're going to want him to re-sign, Mouth. And that is, you know, twofold. Number one, want him because he's Daniel Bryan. Number two, want him because he's Daniel Bryan, and they don't want Daniel Bryan somewhere else.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I hope they don't do a screw job in this and then they do another match. What's happening with Edge in all this, too? He seems to have just disappeared.
Yeah, Edge not appearing since WrestleMania.
We haven't seen him at all. You know, I wanted to talk about that, too, the way that things went on Raw on Monday, because like we always talk about that Raw after Mania, big deal, new things happen. Debuts.
Well, we used to.
Well, that's what I mean.
I think that it's gone.
Well, that's what I mean. You know what the big things coming out of Monday were? A new announcer who I'm not very impressed with, and 10 people getting cut off the roster. That's the only thing I remember coming out of WrestleMania.
Yeah, like it's that's. Not this past week, but the week before. Yeah, Adnan Verk. Well, we did have the return of the Viking Raiders.
Yo, great.
That was wonderful. Legit the only return. But, I mean, that kind of has been lost now. There is no renewal of storyline. It didn't feel like a season premiere, whereas that is very much what the day after Raw used to feel like.
Yeah, no, it's tough. It really didn't feel like anything at all. And, you know, getting rid of guys like Samoa Joe and then putting new guys in commentary that are you know, basically we're going to have to watch these guys learn in front of us. I was just confused by the whole thing. And it was definitely not a Raw after Mania that anyone's going to remember.
We did this week, though, on NXT get the reboot of Aleister Black returning with a storybook. And, I mean, we'll bring up his name again, Samoa Joe. He's no Samoa Joe. The vignette was bizarre. It felt like NXT's Xia Li, who also hasn't been on TV in a couple of weeks after they pushed that gimmick, but they did that strange vignette. I honestly just have zero confidence that Aleister Black is going to get a push when he is on a show that Heyman is on, and that might benefit him if Heyman can get in someone's ear because Heyman likes him. But he's someone that was pushed on Raw. It didn't go well. They seem to have forgotten about him. Also, his wife is not in good standing with the company. I'm actually kind of surprised that he wasn't on the release list.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. He's in a tough spot, Aleister Black. It's obvious that they have a character that they kind of want to work with him, but the presentation doesn't seem to be catching on with fans. I was not a big fan of this segment. I'm starting to get tired of this thing where heavily produced pre-production segments are kind of becoming the norm. It's like we did the cinematic matches, mm-hmm. and now we have to do these crazy things, like you said, with Xia Li there, and then this one with all the animation and stuff in it. I don't know. If it gets too convoluted and too much like looking like a horror movie or something else that's not wrestling, then I kind of tune out, and that's kind of the way I see the Aleister Black thing. They're trying their best to create something like they did with The Fiend, and that didn't work. And I'm not sure this is going to work either.
Okay, I see exactly what you're saying there. And I think what you're actually alluding to is the disconnect. When you build someone up, and this is a rehash of a character, but it's even more so when you have a new character, and you build something up with so much production, then odds are when you actually get to this person, they are a disappointment because you don't have the production and the pomp and circumstance surrounding it because you're dealing with real humans at a certain point, and you're going to eventually be dealing with people in front of crowds. When you get down to the brass tacks of it, it's got to work in the ring. And I think they may be setting up Aleister Black to fail in the ring if people have expectations of all this production surrounding his character.
Well, that's the thing, right? When you don't have all the bells and whistles and you get in the ring, you're just another guy in trunks, and you've got to kind of find a way to separate yourself from the pack. And I think every time they've ever done anything like this, really, with an over-the-top production leading into the guys in ring and stuff, it never seems to work out the
Undertaker.
Way it should.
Undertaker. Undertaker.
Okay, fair enough.
Well.
Undertaker seems to be the one that managed to do it. They haven't done it with The Fiend, that is for sure.
Huge disconnect.
And Xia Li, like you said, she's not even on the TV the last couple of weeks. Again, that's another one where it's a disconnect. And so, yeah, it's really tough. And this same thing might be going to happen with Alexa Bliss as well, because what are they doing with her in this highly manufactured character as well?
This is a mistake. This is repeating what's already failed. You know, we've seen Bray Wyatt and the Fiend character, in my opinion, fail. I say that because of the disconnect that we just discussed. And it really hurts anyone that he's in a program with. And now it looks like they're going to run down that exact same road with Alexa Bliss, but do so in the women's division. Like, who is a compelling feud for Alexa in the women's division when you're dealing with this character, which exists primarily in fantasy, versus someone that exists in, like, imagine Alexa Bliss versus Naomi? What? Yeah. What's that program?
No, you're right. You're right. This is where maybe you need like a Rosemary, okay, an Abaddon, okay, or okay, something that's of a similar character. So maybe you can kind of create a feud because maybe they're coming from the same sort of space, you know what I mean? But this Alexa Bliss with this and the doll, like, it's just like, okay, we've given up on Wyatt, let's try everything that failed with him with her, expecting it to work. It's like, it's insanity. It's not gonna work. And it's just gonna be one of those segments where you're gonna go, oh god, this, and you're gonna fast forward through it.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. Well, that's why we always say you don't watch it live, you watch it with a PVR in hand. And also,
right,
more importantly, Mouth, we watch wrestling so you don't have to. I think is our new slogan as we review things and tell you what the highlights are, and go back and tell you what to watch this week. So go back and watch the AEW main event this week and just forget to, right after the pinfall, stop watching.
Yes, exactly. Stop the tape as soon as the match ends.
Listen, we got to say goodbye for this week on the radio. To those of you that are patrons, you're going to be getting a bonus segment where Bob Kapoor from Slam Wrestling goes head-to-head with Dan Lavransky, and we talk about what's going on with Impact Rebellion and Kenny Omega and why we didn't see any promotion of Impact on AEW this week. So that's coming up for patrons. Stick around for that. For those of you listening on the radio, we're going to be back at the same time next week, same channel that you're listening to right now. Or, of course, you can get all of our shows, including the new Roundtable series, at snmeradio.com and follow us at snmeradio on Twitter. Saying goodbye for this week, back for the next one. Don't you dare miss it.
Brother!
The podcast bonus portion of the show, we are now joined from Slam Wrestling by Bob Kapoor. Dan Lavransky has stayed on the line as well. I mean, we're not going to let him go when we bring you on, Bob. but this is kind of an interesting dynamic, and I do enjoy putting the two of you on the air together because Mouth is now covering AEW each week. Bob, you do tend to have more of a focus on Impact Wrestling, and those two worlds are colliding tonight with Impact Rebellion. And I gotta say, just to kick things off, Mouth, we didn't talk about this in our previous segment. I was full on shocked not only not see Rich Swann this week, but see no Impact Wrestling mention on AEW.
Well, I can't say that I was surprised, because if you look at the way this has been booked, that has been the way it has gone since day one. It is almost like they said Dynamite was off limits or something, and everything's just going to happen on Impact. Well, it's ridiculous, because if you're trying to draw people from AEW to watch Impact and see Kenny Omega, you have to tell them about it. Call me crazy, but you have to tell them. And I'm sure Bob is the same. I can't see Bob arguing with me on this. He's got to be as baffled as I am. I don't understand it. I don't understand why Impact would let this happen. I don't understand why Rich Swann was never on Dynamite. At least a run-in to screw up Kenny Omega and attack something to get us interested. But, like, you would literally, like, I mean, from watching Dynamite, you would know nothing, zero, about this match. They've all been wrapped up in the storyline of the Bucks joining with Kenny and Don again. And that seems to have taken over from anything to do with Rich Swann. So I don't understand Impact's end of this at all. I really think they got the short end of the stick, if they got any of the stick at all.
Well, yeah, certainly the promotion has been entirely on Impact's side. It's not been mentioned on AEW, as you pointed out. And I think, you know, as this feud has, or this invasion, whatever you want to call it, has progressed, I've come to a theory that this is just trying to get Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers and their, you know, that circle of friends and the Japanese connection, just extra paydays. And it doesn't matter who it's, you know, what show that they're on, because they're getting paid from both companies, but they're not doing anything on AEW side to bring up any of the Impact stars.
And but isn't that also up to Impact to kind of, like, shouldn't, like, I get the impression like the two aren't even working together, Bob. It's so strange.
Yeah, and that's the complete disconnect. You're right. On an event like this, where you have crossover stars, where you have your company's belt, your title is on the line, have some sort of promotion. Most people who are watching AEW, you know, in the 0.0% chance that Rich Swann wins, he shows up on Wednesday with the title, and you have the entire audience going, who's this
for guy? You? No, seriously, you're absolutely right, Bob, which, you know, I don't, I'm with you. I don't really think that Rich Swann is going to win this match. But even with Rich Swann losing, Bob, what's the next stage? Like, because you're going to have Kenny on Dynamite with the Impact title. I don't know. It's really weird to me. Like, where do you see the angle going? Because obviously Kenny's winning here.
Oh, yeah. What if there's a disputed finish and we don't have the belts changing hands?
If they do a disputed finish, then it makes Impact look much, much worse and much more like a joke than it ever has before, right? That's a criticism that they've got, is that they, you know, they take these angles, they take these storylines, and they blow them. If they do that, I think you've got all the people who have paid to see this pay-per-view are not going to buy a pay-per-view again. And I think it's just going to turn them off. It would be a disaster for Impact if they didn't end up with some definitive finish and a dual champion.
Disaster also, and Impact have gone in the same sentence many times, Bob. I just wanted to throw that out there. Go ahead, Mike.
It just seems so, so strange. Like, I would think if you know, it's almost like again with the other match on the card with the Good Brothers. I mean, does it even, you know, we're not even hearing about them defending the titles or going out, or sorry, not defending, but trying to go after the titles.
Yeah. So for people who don't know, if they haven't seen it, it's Finn Juice, which to me is also huge. David Finlay and Juice Robinson, who are the champions now in Impact Wrestling. And it's the Good Brothers going after those titles.
Yeah. And it's like, again, nothing has been done. The idea of a disputed finish in the main event, I don't see happening, because Tony Khan and those guys are kind of against that. And as Bob said, it certainly wouldn't make Impact look good. I can't see Rich Swann winning. I just don't see that happening. But I'm really curious, when Kenny wins, where does the storyline go? Like, does in Impact, because they were kind of teasing this week that Moose and Rich Swann are going to kind of get in each other's faces again. So does Rich Swann drop the title, Bob, and then he just goes off with my favorite performer of all time, Moose?
Well, this is what could be interesting, right? Is you could have Rich Swann, well, I mean, you will have Rich Swann lose, but it's a matter of who else they can bring in. I think Moose would be, and I know you can't stand him, but in that six-man tag they had at Hard to Kill, Moose had the best performance of that match. And him against Kenny Omega actually made Moose look like a threat to Omega, because he was bigger, he was stronger, he was able to dominate. I think he would actually be a good opponent for Omega for the Impact title. I'm not saying for the AEW title, because I think after Kenny wins, he's probably going to defend them separately. But I think Moose would be a great call-up to go to AEW to challenge Omega for that title.
You know what? Have
Omega keep going back and forth between shows to continue that feud. And I think you can actually make Moose into a star.
There is that potential. If you want to talk how this is helping Impact, Bob, I think you brought up a very valid point there. If it's not Swann, if you did want to put the emphasis on Moose, who size-wise, you're right, is very daunting, then you could have him go and be the Impact Wrestling savior. Maybe you actually have a match on an AEW, whether it be TV, which is probably for the best as opposed to pay-per-view, but have him go on AEW TV, on Dynamite, and go after the title. And if you don't want to make Omega look weak, then you have whomever is next after the AEW championship come out and interfere. Moose wins, but he wins so illegally. But Moose at least is the hero to bring the Impact Championship back to Impact. And Kenny is interfered and moves along to go ahead and, you know, defend his AEW title against someone else.
I mean, I think that works definitely for AEW, because like you said, you can use it to initiate who is AEW challenger, who the next challenger might be. And you put that belt aside and the focus goes back to the AEW title. The one other thing that I'm thinking about this, because Bob, me, you, we all seem pretty convinced that Kenny Omega is going to win. And I think the average fan knows that Kenny Omega is going to win this match and win this title. So honestly, do you think, Bob, that a lot of AEW fans will even tune in when the outcome seems so obvious?
I don't think, first of all, sorry, Bob, but
your name's not Bob.
But they don't even know about it. If we go back to that point, they don't even know about this damn show.
Yeah, quiet, Jay. I'm asking Bob.
Well, that is the challenge. I mean, I think you're going to see some lift in the pay-per-view numbers tonight just because, you know, Impact got lift on the television ratings tonight. This, you know, the buzz in the wrestling, you know, internet wrestling community is bigger for this pay-per-view than it has been for any Impact pay-per-view. Certainly in the, you know, maybe at the last year's Slammiversary when all the people who were let go from WWE last year were rumored to be coming in. So there was the surprise factor of who might come in. So I could see, you know, but beyond that, I think this is the best promoted show that they've had in years. And I think you'll see some lift. Whether or not they can carry that on, it remains to be seen. Is there money in a rematch or in, you know, we talked about money in a potential Moose Omega situation? I think so, because it depends where they do that, you know, the furthering of that angle. If they do it on Impact, I think probably you're going to not see huge numbers. But if they do it on AEW and they give AEW fans a reason to watch it and a reason to care, yeah, then I think you'll see the true benefit in terms of increased numbers.
So other than that match, which I think the whole pay-per-view is really wrapped around tonight. I mean, the Finn Juice and the Good Brothers thing, I mean, that is another hot program. But Bob, from someone who does follow this from week to week, what else do you feel is definitely worth checking out tonight? What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to the tag match, the title tag team title match. Although, again, from a standpoint of pure Impact viewers, it's not really been a great build, right? Finn Juice came in, they had one match, they won the titles, and then they left. So the tag team championships have been off of TV. They've not given us a reason to really invest ourselves in Finn Juice at all, because all we've seen from them is just talking clips. We've not seen them in action in other matches. So I don't know that that's as successful a program as I think it should have been for the title. In terms of pure in-ring match, I'm looking forward to quality-wise is the triple threat for the X Division Championship.
Yep.
Ace Austin against TJP against Josh Alexander. I think that'll be in-ring the match of the night.
Yeah, I agree. In terms of from same perspective, in-ring, I do want to see that match because those three guys will tear it up. You know they will. But other than that, and I watched Impact the last couple of weeks, there wasn't anything that really captivated me in terms of like, whoa, I really want to see that match now. I mean, it was interesting bringing in Ellering for the tag team with Grace, but outside of that, there's not a lot here that's really jumping out at me.
Yeah, I mean, it's a larger TV event, right? You would see some of these matches on regular TV as well.
Right.
I think the Sami Callihan and Trey Miguel has potential because it's last man standing. So you might be able to see some, you know, some of the hardcore gimmick matches. You know, Sammy's known for his deathmatch stuff. So if Trey Miguel will be willing to do that, I think you could see something really good there too as well. Violent by Design, it'll be interesting because with Eric Young injured, might they bring in someone new to replace him, a new member of the faction? I think that's possible. So there's some intrigue there. But Yeah, and
it really is a one match show, right?
Like, yeah, I agree.
You know, it really, but in that sense, though, Bob, it's actually very old school because that's how a lot of older events were always made. It was the main event title match that was that would be the draw, not the brand like Vince wants it to be, right? Vince wants the brand to be the draw, not the people, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, well, I think, you know, if you're an Impact fan, you'll like it, you'll like the show because, you know, again, this does, culminate to some of the storylines. It does have potential to spin off for some new ones. But, you know, for a new viewer, it's probably not the easiest show to dive into and care other than that main event.
And one question to you, Bob, because I honestly don't think it's a do you think we ever see Impact guys on Dynamite, or do you think it's going to stay like this even if Kenny wins the title? Do we, like, I don't know. It just seems so weird for it to be so one-sided.
I don't know. And you know, when it first came out, and I did a story on Slam for this, I said they have the potentials because they've planted the seeds, right? They've had, you know, they had a great promo with Tommy Dreamer planting the seeds on, hey, this, I've seen this type of invasion before. I've seen how it can damage a company. We need to fight back. So I thought for sure they'd have Dreamer as the, you know, the rallying point for the whole company.
The leader, yeah.
Yeah, and they've started a little bit. Like, if you watched this past week on Impact, they had interviews with many of the people saying, you know, who do you pick? And they're all, you know, 100%.
They all picked Rich Swann. Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
but I think from that standpoint, if you want to do a company versus company angle, you have to do that, right? You have to be loyal to your brand.
Sure.
But it's the follow-up if they actually deliver on what they've been teasing. And I fear that it's not been going that way. I fear that it won't go that way. And it's really going to be continue on this one-sided, you know, we're going to do everything on Impact side to promote it. And AEW, it's an afterthought at best.
You got to admit, Mouth, with what we talked about earlier in the show and all the factions and too many people slammed into 2 hours of Dynamite already, the last thing Dynamite needs, though, is an invasion angle and for Impact guys to be on there.
That's a great point. Yeah, you're right. I mean, they're hurting already trying to get everybody on the TV. So, yeah, that makes it tricky as well. Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, I think it would be super impactful if they did it. Pardon the pun.
Pardon the pun.
But it's just like, and you know, I mean, they were funny at first, but they're kind of annoying after a while. Even the goofy Tony Khan ads with Shivani have disappeared. Like, it just seems to me like AEW said, whatever. We did our bit. You guys do yours and, you know, whatever. It's like everybody's lost interest now or something.
Part of that the changing of the ads is because of the date change, right? Because on Tuesday, when the Impact was Tuesday,
so you could have gotcha,
promote Wednesday
right.
show. Now it wouldn't make so much sense.
Right. All right. Well, listen, let's, has it made enough of a difference for you though, Mouth? I mean, we know Bob is going to be covering for it and all of his coverage is up at Slam Wrestling and he'll be posting tonight, doing the review and all of that. Are you watching this event tonight, Mouth?
I do want to see a main event. Like, I'm totally intrigued the way it's been booked and everything and what could come out of it and that. I am curious to see the main event, but I don't know if I will engage in the entire program. I might just pick and choose.
Well, Bob, we know you're covering it, slamwrestling.net. You can also join the Slam Wrestling Facebook page and get interactive on there. On our end, we have coverage as well. It'll actually be Boris and Matthew, our NXT talk guys, that are going to be doing a podcast after tonight's show as well to give you all the recap and talk about how this non-invasion invasion works.
I think I'm going to be joining those two for a bit tonight.
Are you?
Oh.
I believe so, yeah.
Great. Well, there you go.
Excellent.
We'll get your post on this as well. Here's the pre part of the podcast, and we will get the post part of the podcast with you joining them a little bit later tonight. So look for that. Available for Patreons, patreon.com/SNMEradio. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Mouth. And you kept it very civil today, guys.
Well, we didn't talk about AEW, but...
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Well, we'll leave that for another time.
Let him loose on Jade Cargill, and he'll tell you what he feels.
We will save that one for another time when we get you two guys on again, perhaps on a round table when you can debate as well. But thank you, gents. That's it for this week. You know where to find the coverage. And, yeah, it's Rebellion tonight, Impact Wrestling, and we shall see who comes out with all the gold.